Please stand and join me in the call to worship as you'll find in your bulletin. Christ is born, give him glory. Christ has come down from heaven, receive him. O earth, sing to the Lord, O you nations, praise him in joy, for he has been glorified. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and everlasting God, we ask that you would send into the darkness of this troubled world the light of your Son. And let the star of your hope touch the minds of all people with the bright beams of mercy and truth. And so then you can direct our steps that we may ever walk in the way that is revealed to us, so that we would, as the shepherds of Bethlehem, walked with joy to the manger where Jesus dwelled, we may also find our way to that same place. In the quietness of this evening, we ask that you would strengthen us and guide us and direct us so that our hearts would be so unified with your heart that your will would be reflected in our will. And we pray all this now in the loving name of Jesus our Savior. Amen.
World waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh come, Emmanuel. child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh come, Emmanuel. Can you hear the angels? With the tears of a mother, a baby's cry is the sound of love. Come down, Emmanuel.
First scripture for this evening comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor you have broken, just as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, and authority rests upon his shoulders. And he's named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. and his authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Here ends the first scripture reading. So we have been on a journey now for these last 4 weeks of Advent. If you are new this evening worshiping with us, you are welcome to join us now as we're arriving at the end of our journey. It's a journey that has taken us through each of the Gospels, and we looked at each of their different Christmas stories over these past 4 weeks throughout the season of Advent, and we're no longer in Advent this evening. We are now in the Christmas season. So we looked at Matthew and his wonderful story of the wise men. We looked at John and his sublime and yet powerful message of Christmas that reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What about Mark? You remember the Gospel of Mark? Remember how many verses he gave us for the Christmas story? It was a really short Sunday. Zero. None. No verses. No verses in the Gospel of Mark. So each Gospel writer in their own way describes a Christmas story very differently from the one that we see in the world and in our culture. And each one is different from the other as well. This evening we come to what is probably the most beloved of all the Gospel Christmas stories, the one that we find in the Gospel of Luke. So Mark gives us 0 verses, Matthew 30 verses, Luke 120. Simply put, Luke loves Christmas. Absolutely loves Christmas. And Luke's story is full of song and poetry and intimate details. And only Luke tells us the story of this group of people that we're going to be looking at in these next verses. This morning I told you, just stop at verse 7. Don't go any further. Tonight we get to go further. Tonight we get to look all the way from verse 28 through the verse 20. And only Luke gives us these shepherds. And so Luke wrote a gospel. He wrote a Christmas story 4 times bigger than Matthew and very different. And it's a story of people, a story of humanity, and a God who appears to them, and a baby who is born to them. A new king, absolutely, but a baby who was born to them, a human being like any one of us. A real baby born for humanity who loves and cares for real people. So let's hear this gospel message, this Christmas story that we find in chapter 2 of Luke, verses 8 through 20. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The angels left them. And when they had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and they also saw the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary, well, she treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, we do ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So one of my favorite Christmas movies is The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And yes, I said Christmas movie. It's also a great Christian movie as well, and it fascinates me how the four main characters, who are all youth, they manage to, up until at least they meet Aslan the lion, who is Jesus, they never really believe that they're able to have any role at all in saving Narnia. If you haven't seen the movie, read the book, but there was no way that they could have been chosen by God to play any role because they were kids. They were just humans, just ordinary kids, until they met Aslan. And then they were kids, ordinary human kids, that God was able to use for God's purposes. The same thing is true with these shepherds. Let's remind ourselves of who these shepherds were in the first century. When we think of shepherds, maybe today in the 21st century, we think of cute, cuddly little animals. Unless you show sheep, then you know truly what they are. Or we see an animated Jesus, happy and laughing and holding a lamb across his shoulders. Very romantic, but not very realistic. And we think, isn't it neat that shepherds and their fuzzy-wuzzy sheep were out in the fields? But in the time of Jesus, shepherds, they were very, very low on the totem pole. They were at the bottom of the social chain. they were poor. And not only were they poor, but they were also outcasts. They were filthy because if you look at verse 8, we read that in that region there were shepherds living in the fields. When you live in the fields, you tend to have manure and grime. Their feet and legs were probably covered with it. They were also mistrusted. They were considered thieves, and maybe some of them were. There's only one group in the first century that was considered lower than the shepherds, and that was the lepers. You can't get any more ordinary, any more common, any more human than shepherds in Jesus' day. But why is it that it's the ordinary, the low class, the outcasts of the world that God chooses to first give this message of life? When you look at verse 10, you see the angels come and they deliver the good news to all of humanity. But first to these ordinary people, people like you and me. In verse 11, it says specifically, to you this day, as they're speaking to these shepherds, I have a personal message for you. And we've heard this passage many times, and I wonder how many times we've heard the angel speaking directly to us. And do we ever hear it personally as the shepherds did? When the angel said to you, and you can probably hear your own, well, you should, I hope you hear your own names mentioned by the angel. To you is born a Savior, simply because He loves you. So it's a story, and it's a message that wasn't meant just to give us a warm, fuzzy, emotional rise, but it was given to change our lives. The angels came in the lives of the shepherds to change their lives. And it's so personal because it's been given to you, it's been given to me as individuals, but it's also very communal because it has changed the world. So Luke's story uses ordinary human beings to care for and bring good news to ordinary human beings. Because no matter what the world thinks of them, they are precious to God. Now, here at First Pres, we have tried over the years to care for what we would call people on the margins of society, people at risk within our community in a number of different ways. We've tried through our food bank. We've tried through a community church vibe that I hope is contagious. So that means that we may get people into our church and into this building who wouldn't necessarily have come in had it not been for that vibe, for that welcoming spirit. And it has been hard maybe sometimes to wipe off the image of outcast and replace it with child of God. It doesn't happen overnight. It's amazing what people who were normally outsiders can teach us. As the shepherds, if you notice in the scripture, when they came and they told all those who were gathered what they had been taught, and everyone who heard it was amazed. So these shepherds, the lowest on the totem pole, the ones who were disrespected were able to teach the Holy Family because they truly were on a mission from God. And if Luke believes that these hungry, humble, poor, and even at times non-status quo people who will be filled up and lifted up and enthroned are able to be trusted, then we should be able to as well. So Luke's Christmas story, it's a sober reminder to us that we who are rich and we who are powerful and we who are the first in the world have better care for the poor and the impotent of the world because God does. If we will use our advantage and our abundance to care for the powerless in this world, God will bless us. If we don't, then we will be emptied and we will be cast down and we will be scattered. We don't really need all that we have. We cannot possibly use all that we have. And God wants us to share with and care for those that in the past we might have preferred to ignore as the shepherds were ignored. So Luke's story is our favorite. And it should be because it has a lot of these wonderful details. But maybe you never heard a warning also in Luke's story. Luke's story is an extraordinary gift to all of us this evening. Because many of us consider ourselves at times also insignificant and inadequate and unworthy and shameful. Many of us may consider ourselves this evening extraordinarily, well, ordinary, extraordinarily human. And if we do feel like a shepherd maybe did, let me tell you that you are precious and remarkable in the sight of God. You know, it's in this time of year that throughout communities, suicide rate spikes. It's in this time of year, more than any other, that people may feel that inadequacy or unworthiness or so redundant that they're not able to hear those angels speaking to the shepherds in this Christmas message. And when I sense that, I want to cry out in these moments from the mountaintops, God loves you. He thinks you're remarkable. You are precious to Him. And if you will just let Him, He will use you in ways that you could never, ever imagine. See, if you're a shepherd, you do not think God can ever use you. He never has in the past. That's not what Luke tells us. And then there may be those of us who, in certain moments, may be somewhat prone to grumble because we're asked maybe to write another check or to volunteer for a nursery worker who wants a break or to help hold a baby because one person can't hold five babies and we're getting a lot of babies, which is a good thing, right? But not when one person tries to hold five. That's never good. But when we find ourselves in that place, we need to reconfess and search for that gratitude to God for loving us and blessing us and calling us to this profoundly divine ministry, to a profoundly human and ordinary world in which we live. And so if you are here this evening feeling a bit like a shepherd, maybe with a sense of inadequacy and ordinariness, look around you. You're surrounded by other shepherds. You're not alone. And believe it or not, you are surrounded by people who are struggling with those same feelings. And maybe that's why I also love Luke's Christmas message. Because it takes us, ordinary, at times terrified human beings, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, calls them and equips them for extraordinary service. We are all utterly dependent upon our gracious God who gives the Christmas message to us, the shepherds. May we always be dependent upon Him and gain our strength and power from Him. Amen. Loving God, we do come before You now. And we give You thanks and praise because You have called us in our insecurity to do Your work. God, You must be able to find someone else. God, You can't be that desperate. But Lord, it has been Your choice. It has been Your choice to come as one of us, to be born in a manger that reflects a humility that we ought to base our lives after. You have called us, Lord God, because you have a heart for all of humanity. And you have taught us how much we have yet to learn, especially from people that we may consider a shepherd. So watch over us and keep us this evening as we prepare our hearts and our lives for the coming of the Christ into our lives, so that we would not just emotionally find ourselves in a different place, but that our very lives would be changed and transformed. And we pray this now in your loving name. Amen. You may be seated. Let us go to God in prayer. Holy God, heaven and earth are met this evening in the newborn child, the Savior of the world, and we celebrate this evening his birth. For in him you come to be close to us so that we might be close to you. And especially we give thanks for the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he means to us for prospects of peace in the world, for confidence in your mighty love, for those who generously give, and for those who graciously receive. and for the churches nurturing us in the faith, God of all mercy, as you have come in Jesus Christ to be our guest, inspire our hearts to a hospitality that welcomes all of your children in his name. And this evening especially, we pray for those who have not heard your good news, for the sick and the suffering, for those who know no laughter and only tears, for those who govern and rule, for those enslaved by tyranny, for prisoners of addiction or abuse, for the church as a refuge for the needy. God, all this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Amen. Well, this evening we have arrived at the end of the journey that marks the beginning of a journey, when we're able to celebrate with all people the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world as one of us. And in the Gospel of John, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we hear again in John that the Word became flesh and lived among us. And John states that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And Isaiah tells us that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. Let us walk in the light of the world. Please stand. And so now, go out into the world in peace, and return no one evil for evil, but love and serve God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. And Merry Christmas. Thank you.